We're in a series called Simplicity. We spoke about the simplicities that was in Christ. Focus on Christ. How many remember that? Amen. I know 2 weeks is a long time ago in church time, but that's what we looked at. Last week, we looked at the simplicity of being a Christian. Amen. Help me out. And so really we spoke about a Christian. When you boil it down to its simplicity, a Christian is someone who's changed. That's what we said. You have to change. And we said four things that a Christian does. Simply four things. The first one, does any remember? One. The first one was one, yeah. Prayer, preach. The word of God. Amen. That's what you said. Amen. The second one was prayer. The third one, fellowships, coming to church, coming to home group, meeting with people. The last one was evangelism. Witness. Amen. You got it right. Witness, evangelism. And so those are the four things. How many are doing those things? Put your hand up. Hey, okay, maybe we need to preach that sermon again. I can preach it again because I got it on my iPad. We're going to do something different now. I'm going to give you something different. How many don't like paperwork? I hate paperwork. And since I've become a pastor, I have so much paperwork. But I have a unique, well, I don't even think it's unique, but I have a filing system, is that I leave everything to the end of the month. And it's piled up on my desk, and there's so many things going on, and now I've got to take a whole day to sort it out. But I can't usually think of what's going on. So what I've got to do is I've got to tidy everything up. I've got to get rid of anything which is not needed, file it away, put something, and then focus on what is needed for that month. How many you do that type of thing? I have to do that so that I boil things down to its simplicity. Get rid of what you don't need. I want to say to you today is that we want to speak about the simplicity of the church. Look at someone say, this is going to be a simple message. Hallelujah. This is going to be a simple message. This is a simple message. Look at someone and say, you need to listen. Look at them and say, don't fall asleep. Look at them and say, turn off your mobile. Amen. And so if you see someone sleeping or looking at their mobile, you have all the authority in the kingdom of God to tap them. If they get angry, just put up your hand and say, this one's getting angry and we'll deal with them. I don't even know what I'm saying now. Okay, no, this is where we're at. Simple message. Simplicity of the church. Let me say this. I want to get rid of some mess. When we're talking about the church, let's get rid of some misunderstandings. First of all, the word church does not describe a building. How many of you ever said, oh yeah, go around here, you come to the church on the corner, go down there? Wrong. The word church is not a building. Now, we've made it into that, but when Jesus says the church, when the Bible mentions the church, this is not what Jesus is talking about. He wasn't talking about a building. Also, misconception. The church is not the tabernacle. You read in the Old Testament, the tabernacle. The church is not the temple. See, the tabernacle was a tent structure where God's presence would come down, and they had all the religious things going on in there. And it's in the Old Testament. God told them through Moses, build a tabernacle. But as they progress, God says, okay, when they get their land, God says, it's no longer the tabernacle. Now you've upgraded to the temple. So the temple, what's the difference? Simple as this. The temple was built. It's a building. The tabernacle was a tent. And so they progressed when they got their own space, they got their own thing going on, they built the temple. But the church is not the modern or New Testament tabernacle or temple. Do you know what the modern tabernacle and temple is? The New Testament temple is you. You are the new temple. Now, because the Bible says when Jesus died on the cross, that the curtain or whatever it is that was keeping you out of the Holy of Holies was ripped from the top to the bottom. And now the Bible says that the Holy Spirit abides in us. We have become God's temple. God wants to abide in us. That's why you got to keep yourself clean. I don't mean regular baths and brushing your teeth and wearing deodorant. That's good. But we're talking about morally clean. Because God don't, no one don't want to live in a mess. No one don't want to live in a mess. Someone sent me a video recently of someone's house. and the mess of it. It was just men's house, and they sent me. Some of you know whose house that was. Amen. And I was tempted to, no, but I thought, no, I'm going to give them grace. Amen. But no one don't want to live in a mess. God don't want to live in a mess. So you got to keep the temple holy. That's a freebie. It's not even in my notes. So what is the church? Well, the church is described as the house of God. The church is described as the house of God. The church is the people. The church is the people. The word church is the word ecclesia, meaning called out and gathered together. Called out and gathered together. That's what the word church means. That you've been called out of the world, called out of your old lifestyle, called out of the way things were, and now you're gathered with God's people. That is what the word church means. And so if a church is the same as the world, it's not a church. Did you get that? If the church is doing exactly what the world is doing, then it hasn't been called out of the world. And if people in the church are living just like people in the world, then they're not in the church, because you haven't been called out. The word church means called out and gathered together. The other metaphor for the church is this: a body. The Bible speaks about the church as a body. Now, a body is built up of different parts, shapes, and sizes. How many know your toe is not your finger? Your eye is not your ear. These are different shapes and sizes. But even though we have different shapes and sizes, we are one body. I am one body. My finger is not a body and my toe is not another body. I'm one body, but I'm made up of different shapes and sizes and functions and different body parts. So the Bible says that the church is a body. So you don't need to look like me or be exactly like me. And I don't need to be exactly like you and look like you. I don't have to have all that. What we need to be is in Christ, in unity. See, you need to be in unity with the body to be in the church. You don't have to be exactly the same personality-wise, but we must be one in spiritual direction. We have to be. See, because imagine this now. You could have a healthy body here. You could have a guy up here, and he could have muscles, and he could be 6 foot something. And so he could be perfectly proportioned and muscles and handsome and everything. And somebody should say, hey, man, is he saved? And so he could be here, but we could look at him, and he'd be standing, he'd got his suit on, his world shoulders and all of that. But imagine if we started to dissect him. We took off his arm. We took off his elbow, we took off his knee, we took off his toe, we took off his ear, we took out his eye, and we started to lay the very same man that stood up here, and you was like, And we started to lay his bits in a line all the way along here. How many know that'd be gross? That's a horror movie. But hold up. So you liked it when it was all together, united, but you didn't like it when it was divided. That's how God looks at his church. That's how God looks at his church. This is why division, and people come into the church and they want to bring schisms. You understand what schisms is? They want to try to so, say a whisper here and talk here and say a little thing here. And they want to try to bring division. And why is that? And why is this? And why is that? Why don't you go and ask the pastor? Oh, no, I didn't really mean it. Why don't you? And they're always trying to do that. You're trying to bring division. Listen, just like if you came up to me and you started to cut one of my fingers off, I'd get angry. That's how God deals with you. But that's a whole nother sermon again. Amen. Let's get straight into our text. Matthew 28 verse 19. We know the text, but follow along with me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Father, we just ask you right now that you would help us as we go into your word. Father, we want to make time for you, your Holy Spirit, your power, your word. And Father, I pray that you glorify your son Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. I want to say the first thing is, this is Jesus speaking to the church. Jesus is leaving his church and he speaks to his church. And the first thing is simple as this. This is a simple message. The church cannot do its own thing. The church can't decide to do its own thing. The church has to do what Jesus told it to do. The church can't decide, oh, we're going to be a youth club. That's not what God told you to be. The church can't decide, oh, we're going to be a social club. No, the church can't decide. We're going to do this, we're going to do that. We're going to be a soup kitchen. This is what we're about. We're going to have yoga club. You know, so many churches, I remember when I was looking for buildings, they'd be like, oh no, we got yoga that night in the building. Yoga in the church. the church cannot make up its mind what it wants to be. The church has to do what God told it to do. See, the church is not an institution that is just here to make you feel better about yourself. The church is not here just so that you can get a job and feel better about yourself and find a spouse. The church, Jesus said, he says to them, the first thing he says in our text, the first thing he said, what was the first word he said? Let's try it again, 1, 2, 3.
Go.
His first thing he said was the go. If you're in the church and part of the church, and what the church needs to be doing is going and doing what God told it to do. That's what a church is. A church is an organization and a body of people called by God to do what he wants them to do. To go and tell other people about Jesus. That's what the church is here for. To tell others about him. The church may be doing other things, doing on the sides and all of that. And I'm not going to say everything is bad. But the primary focus, the core, the mission of the church, should I say, is to go and tell people about Jesus, is to preach the gospel. 1 Corinthians 9 verse 16. Listen to the speech of Paul. He says, for if I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground for boasting. He says, so what? If I preach it, I can't boast about it. For necessity is laid upon me. He says, I preach it because I have to preach it. I have to preach it. I can't be like preaching the gospel and then boasting. Yeah, I preach. He says, no. He says, I have to preach it. And he says, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. Think about that. Romans 1 verse 16. Very famous passage of scripture. Once again, think how Paul is talking. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew and also to the Greek. You cannot be ashamed of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 9, 22. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I became all things to all people, that I by all means, say all means, by all means might save some. This is massive here, because this is simple. Because you can go to a church and I like the church because it has this, and I like the church because it can do that, and I like the church because it's easy for parking and it's got good creche and Sunday school, and you know they got a lot of handsome guys there and beautiful women there. You could choose, but the issue is, you need to find a church that's preaching Jesus. And you need to find a church that is preaching Jesus outside these four walls. That are going, doing what God told us to do. God told us to go. That's what the church is all about. The simple message of the church is this. Is it going? I want to say to you, is your church a church that is going, doing what Jesus told it to do? Is your church doing this? And if this is your church, are you helping us do this? Are you helping us do what God told us to do? In essence, what is it? I think much of the church world has dropped the ball here. And many people, you've been to different churches before you ever came to our church. Maybe you're a member of another church and you're just visiting with us today. And you know what? We appreciate you. We're glad that you're here. But I want to say to you, the facts are this. Many churches have dropped the ball when it comes to doing what God told it to do. Many churches have dropped the ball. I was speaking to a guy, he's a Christian guy, and he does a lot in the community, and he met up with me and he wanted us to partner with him and some stuff, and we may still do some other stuff, I don't know right yet, but I said right now, you know, we're busy about what God has told us to do. And so he said, you know, he's quite an eloquent speaker, good vocabulary, presents himself well, and the first thing he said, in a few words, Courtney, define your church. Define your church. What is it about? And I thought for a second. I said, what defines our church is we make disciples. That's what defines our church. We make disciples. Because that's what Jesus told us to do. That's what Jesus told us to do. He said, go and make disciples. That's what he told us to do. Amen? That's that, you know, it's there's no debate. There's no and he kind of looked at me strange, like, what do you mean? What's going on? And the reason why that is that many churches have dropped the ball when it comes to making disciples. When it comes to the job of making a disciple. See, some of you here have come, some of you are visitors, some of you have been coming for a while, some of you have been to many churches, and you've yet to hear somebody talk to you about making a disciple. You've heard about Jesus, you've heard about the manger, you've heard about walking on water, you've heard about the ark, you've heard about the Gabriel, you've heard about all these little Bible stories. Wonderful, I'm glad. But I'm saying the priority, the first thing is making disciples. And so many people are going through Christianity and going through churches and church hopping and a church vagabonds, wandering from church to church, picking like it's a pick and mix. Can I say to you, this is the priority, disciple making. The question I thought to myself is why have we moved away from disciple making? It's very simple. It's hard work. This is the hard work. Making disciples is hard. Making disciples is costly. Because making disciples is up close and personal. See, if you're going to make a disciple, you got to hang with that person. You got to spend time with that person. Jesus shows us the thing. They come to Jesus, they're like, are you this, are you that? Jesus, come follow me, man. Come follow me. And Jesus was with these guys. They camped together, they ate together, they went around doing ministry together for 3.5 years. Jesus is with these guys and he's spending time with these guys and they're asking him questions. And if you read the Gospels, they're doing stupid things. They're like, they're arguing, I'm going to be the greatest, you're going to be the greatest. And Jesus is like, stop all that nonsense. And Jesus, when he deals with people, he's like, how long must I suffer you? Listen, making disciples is difficult. Because it's up close and personal, and just coming to church, sitting there is easy. Come, just to come, sit, watch me shout and sweat, and then you get up, shake a hand, get a biscuit, a drink, and you go home. That's easy. It's making disciples, which is difficult. Using your own free credits, calling people up. Hi. Introducing yourself to people and working with them. It's costly because you're pouring yourself and what you know as a Christian into somebody that may not even make it in the end. That may, you know, do you know the amount of people that I've visited and called and text and taken out and spoke to that are not here today? That came for a month, came for 6 months, came for 2 years, and not here today. And then you think all the hours that you've invested and prayed for them and labored for them, and they call you at all hours of the night because they got a problem, and you're thinking, yes, they're going to make it, they must make it, and then they don't. They go and do what they want to do because discipleship is difficult. See, real discipleship is going to cost you time, energy, money. Many churches, rather than commit to discipleship, many churches will just rather do other things. Because it is difficult, we want to be a church, let's just do other things. And so they start to do other things. They call themselves the community church. We're just going to do things in the community. Did you hear? They're going to pull down that telephone, that post box. That post box has been there since 1845. Let's campaign. And they start to banners, save our post box, save our post box. And the church is doing that. How many seen it? And the church will do that. And they're doing all these things. Save the post box. I don't care. Save it, put it down. As long as my letters get there, I don't care. But the issue is, we're with the community. How the pastor tell me? Yeah, we're in the community. We do community. Yeah, we're in the community. We are the community. We're from the community. We need to help the community. We have our fun days. We do things like that. But that's not our priority. Our priority is making disciples. Because Jesus never told us to go and be community campaigners. He didn't say, go therefore and be a community campaigner. And I will be with you to the end of the earth. He didn't say that. He said, go and make disciples. But because discipleship is just too difficult, too hard, oh, this is difficult, well, this is costing us too much, let's focus on something else, and then we look better in the eyes of the world. And so we look better in the community. We just look better. Well, I want to say this. You may look better in the eyes of the community, but how do you look in the eyes of your Lord? That's like going to work and trying to impress the boss of another company while your own boss has told you what to do and you don't do it. You try that and you see how that works for you. Go into your job, don't do what your boss said, don't fulfill your role, don't do what your contract says, but do what some other job says, which is totally different. And see how that works for you. Listen, that ain't going to work. I'll tell you what's going to work. You're going to be getting a sack. We need to think, what did God tell us to do? Some churches, you know what? Rather than concentrating on discipleship, we're going to concentrate on worship. It's all about worship. We're supposed to be worshipers. God's called us worshipers. Amen. The Bible says that God wants us to worship Him in spirit and truth. And so everything is about worship. You come into the church, it's like every service is like a concert. And it's just worship. And it's like, oh yeah, this is worship. And the music is great, and the musician. And listen, I want better worship. We all want better worship. We thank God for where it is. We want it to go to the next level. Amen. Amen. And so, yeah, if we have the facilities and the building and the musicians and the equipment and our worship is that, we could. But listen, God didn't call us to make albums, worship albums. If we could make worship albums, I would make a worship album and I'd give it out to everybody free. And you could go home and listen to that rather than listen to little whoever. But rather than disciple, it's all about worship. That's what we're known for. Our brand is worship. Well, God is into worship, but God told us not to go and make worship centers. He told us to go and make disciples. There are some churches, rather than continue with discipleship, it's difficult. It's all about teaching. It's all about deep, theological, expository, didactic, deep exegesis of the text. And so you come out with big, bulging Bible heads. And so each one would come in. You know the Greek and the Hebrew and the deep text, and you're deep now, and you can debate with people. But have you made disciples? See, community and worship and deepness, I want to be deep. I'd like to be. I study my Bible. I pray. I look into the meanings of words. But I must remember this. Jesus told us to make disciples. Getting people to pray is not even enough. Did you know that? Like when people pray, we spoke about how many people prayed, we clapped. I love that about this church. That even if it's one person or two people, we'll still clap. There's something about that. And I think that's good because it shows that, you know what? Our heritage is of heaven. We're born of heaven because the Bible says even when one sinner comes to repentance, the angels are having a party in heaven. And so when we hear people have prayed, we get excited and we clap our hands. But let me say this though, church. Even that is not the goal in itself, just to get people to pray. God has told us, He didn't say go and make decisions. Go and get people to raise their hand. Go and bring people to the front. He told us to go and make disciples. And we can get excited. Oh, this many people are praying. That many people prayed. I did an altar call. That many people prayed. Wonderful, bro. Glorious, sis. But it's all about disciples. That's the simpleness of it. If you want to boil it down, is the church making disciples? What is a disciple? A disciple simply is a disciplined learner. A disciplined learner of Jesus. Jesus tells his disciples to go make disciples. What Jesus is saying, I want you guys now to go and get others and teach them what I taught you. Teach them what I taught you. Jesus is not going to come back to make disciples. Jesus is coming back for the church. And so you got to think about this now. Jesus has called men, human beings, And he's told those human beings, go and get other human beings and teach them to follow me. And so sometimes we're getting people to pray and we think, oh, just God will just reveal it to them. God will show them what to do. I've prayed with them, leave them to God. Jesus never said that. Jesus said, no. I'm going. I showed you guys what to do. I want you now to go and show others what to do. Christianity is about, this is why so many times people have come to church and prayed. And some of you here, you've come to church and you've prayed and you've asked God into your life, but nothing has quite changed yet. And you may ask, why is that? Is this thing real? But I really felt something when I came to church, and what happened here? There is a lack of discipleship. See, Jesus never told us just to pray. He said, disciples, you're my disciples. Now go and make your own disciples followers of me. So here you've got these men, they go and they reach into other men, other women, and they teach them how to pray, how to read, how to worship, how to witness, how to love, how to forgive, how to sacrifice. What it is that Christianity should be something you observe on others so that you could say, ah, I see what a Christian does. It's not for you to just pray, go home with your Bible, fold your legs, fold your arms, meditate, and somehow God's just going to download it on you. If I empty my mind, No, demonic. That's what that is. No. What it is that there should be older believers, mature believers, that have gone further down the road, that you can look at them and say, ah, that's how Jesus would do it. Oh, no, but why can't God just bypass all of that, the man bit, and come straight to me? Because that's not how he does it. That's why it's discipleship. That's why many of the church doesn't do it. Listen to what the Bible shows us. There has to be someone. Someone else is going to show you. Someone must disciple you. If no one has discipled you, there's something wrong. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1. Paul says this. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Be imitator of me. Imagine if I started my sermon like that. Hey, listen. You want to get to heaven? Follow me. Do what I do. Well, that's a bit prideful. It's a bit arrogant. That's what Paul said, though. I'd lose half of you. What's going on? Any World Cup today? Nah. But Paul said that. He said, you listen, imitate me, follow me. I'm going to show you how it is to be a Christian. Have you got someone that you can follow? Remember the safe. Oh, but Pastor, they might lead me astray. No, but the safety is as they follow Christ. He says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Once he stops imitating Christ, bro, I'm not following you. I'm not following you no more. And listen, there's been men that have been saved before me, and they were ahead of me, and I followed them up until they stopped following Christ. So yeah, I'm following them. They taught me to pray. They taught me to do this. But when they left the church, I'm not leaving the church with them. No. I follow you as you follow Christ. Second Timothy 2 verse 2 shows us again, there needs to be some discipleship going on here. And what you have heard of me, Paul speaking, what you have heard of me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others. Now, you can read over that scripture, but I want to make an illustration. I need four men, okay. Joshua, there you go, because he was smiling. There you go, this guy wants to come up. Steely, yep, come up. You know you want it. Like, you know when some people pretend like, no, not me. He had that look. Patrick, yeah, way too happy. Amen. Okay, I need a line. Stand. Okay, stand there facing the crowd. Hallelujah. All of these guys are single as well, man. Amen. Oh, sorry. That didn't get them excited. Don't worry. Anyway, swiftly moving on. Some jokes work, some jokes don't. He says, okay, this is what he says. For what you have heard of me, so I'm going to be Paul, yeah? So he says, so Paul is the first guy. He says, anything you've heard of me, he's writing it to Timothy. So this is Timothy. So here's Paul. And so Paul is instructing Timothy. So this is discipleship. This is what it is. Discipleship. And he says this, maybe, God help us. And he says this, entrust to faithful men. Timothy, this is a faithful man now. There's too many egos up here, man. And so this is a faithful man. So here's Timothy, here's me. I hand it to him. Now pretend to hand it to him. There you go. Receive it. There you go. All right. And then listen to what he says. Faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So these are others also. So you think about this now. Here is the other. Sorry. Think about how this works. Just think about exactly what Jesus said. This is the pattern of the church. Paul gives it to him. Go for it. We've rehearsed it. That's it. That's simple what the Bible says. That's basically what the Bible... And so what would happen here is that this guy does the same thing. And it just keeps going down. This, what we saw here, is what the church exists to do. I give this guy prayer, he teaches these guys to pray. He teaches him, he passes him, he passes him, we're all praying. Read the Bible, he teaches his, they're all reading their Bible. Come on outreach, evangelism, worship, all of it. It works all the way through the church. This is what the church exists to do. This is the discipleship. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Give him a round of applause. A genuine Christian is making disciples. I want to ask a question right now. And this is where we're going to close things off. We're going to pray. We're getting ready to close off. Don't get excited. Where are your disciples? If you're a Christian, you've been calling yourself a Christian, going around telling everyone you're a Christian. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. You've been going around telling everyone you're a Christian. Okay, that's fine. Where are your disciples? Because a genuine Christian makes disciples. But it's going to take a disciple. Not only have you made any disciples, imagine we did this, I can't remember, I think it was a year ago, 6 months ago, with the men. And we told men, come up and write who you discipled. And so we turned the screen around, and so no one could see, and so they were writing. And so say someone would write, oh, I discipled Curtis. I discipled Kenny. I discipled Miles. I discipled... And so they're writing the names down. And then we turned the board around and we said, okay. And so we'd mention a name. Kenny, who discipled you? Miles, who discipled you? And some of these guys would say, no one discipled me. And then we'd be like, burp, burp. Because his name's on the board. Who put his name on the board? And someone would... It's like, no, you haven't made a disciple. You haven't made a disciple. But okay, we've laughed and joked. But what if we was to say today, if you've been discipled by someone, if someone has come alongside of you, poured their life into you, taught you to pray, taught you to read, helped you in time, and really given you Christ, and taught you what it is to be a Christian, and we used to say to you, stand up. And if they stood up, would anybody stand up that you had discipled? We have people that are just going to church all over the world for years and they've never made anything. But they feel comfortable. They come, give their few pence, barely sing a few songs, go home, barely read their Bible, and feel safe and secure. While Jesus told us, listen, it doesn't matter what the church does or doesn't do. The simplicity of the church is this. The church exists to make disciples. That's not just men building men. That's women teaching other women. So the Bible says that the older women teach the other women. See, we don't care about your eyelashes or your eyebrows or your weave. or your wig, your shoes, your jacket. Listen, just cover yourself up. As long as you're not exposing yourself, we'll praise God, you'll praise God. But what we're looking for is mature women that will teach other women. Teach other women. So a woman can come into the church and say, what does it mean to be a Christian woman? Because God made you feminine. God is not, that was a mistake. Men rule, not women. No, God made male, God made female. God wants you to be Christian and fully feminine. Just like he wants a man to be Christian and fully masculine. But how do you find that? You find it by looking and finding and seeing other women. Let me say this. This process of discipleship is what Jesus left us. Jesus lived about 33 years, they say. He lived, died, rose, and left. But what did he leave us with? Well, he left us with two things, two very important things, and these are the things hope of the world. First thing is discipleship. Disciples making disciples. You've got to be a disciple to make a disciple. If you're not a disciple, how do you make one? Remember, Paul says, because Paul is a disciple, he says to Timothy, who is a disciple, the things you've learned from me, teach other men. But he said faithful men. A man who wants to be a disciple. You can't make someone a disciple if they don't want to be. But discipleship is the hope of the world. Okay, we got some slides here. Year one. And we're going to show you that discipleship is the hope of the world. Hopefully this works. I didn't have time to look at it. I came straight in. And so if it's wrong, we blame James. No, it's right. Amen. Two guys. One, praise with one person a day. How many of that would be good? Praying with one person a day, leading them to Christ. One person a day. And so we're going to go on the premise that there's 365 days a year, in a year. And then we have another guy who disciples someone. So for a year, he disciples that guy or that woman. She disciples, she teaches her how to pray. She comes alongside her. She's teaching her the ways of Christ. And it takes a whole year. How many know you could do a lot in a year? You become built up in a year that you're spending time with someone and helping them in Jesus, loving them, caring for them, visiting them, going out of your way for them, bringing them into your home, bringing them into your life. That costs you a lot, but you're willing to do it because Jesus told you to. So at the end of the first year, prayed, simple, 365, disciples should really be, is the guy who got discipled and the discipler. Make sense? You're with me at this point? Okay, let's go to year two. Year two, now we've got 730 people prayed. Hey, that's impressive. How many would like that? Four people, four disciples. Okay, keep doing your job. Next year, what I've put on here is, at the third year, the guy that prayed is now on 95. The guy who's discipling is on 8. Now, I've put each year as it goes up, because I want you to start to see this. Because when I go to the next one, I don't know, that don't make no sense. The next year, the discipler is at 16. The next year, which would be the fifth year, the discipler is on 32. The next year, sixth year, would be 64. That's just the discipler. Obviously, the prayer guy is going up as well. So the next one, I think it's year seven. Year seven, that's 2,550 people have prayed. Now the disciple guy has got 128. This is where it's going to start to change. It's going to start to change. Because you think about this now, the next year, the discipler, sorry, he was a bit too fast there, I didn't say that, but we can go to there. No, they've seen it now, you've ruined it, that's all right. I'm going home. No. Let's jump ahead 3 years, because James wanted us to, amen. Now, you're starting to think, hold up, the discipler is making some headway. How did he get from 100? You think, just from year 7 to year 10, he got from 120 something. Because you double that became 200 and something. Double that, it became 500 and something. Now you start to see it. Double it again, it became 1,000. So discipling is actually catching up with this other guy. Let's go on. What's the next slide? At the 12th year, they're like head and head. At the 12th year. So hold up.
we start to see God gave us discipleship because he knew the only way you're going to reach the world is through discipleship. He'd be like, why didn't Jesus leave us some magic or some potion or some... What did Jesus leave the world? He went away. What did he leave the world? He left the world discipleship. Teaching people to love God, to love others. That was his hope. If you will disciple, he left the church in charge. He said, listen, church, if you will get busy about the business of discipleship, this is why within the first 300 years, Christianity crosses continents, starts to change the world in the first 300 years. You study it, just start, and this is the age where the church is persecuted and hated. This is when you see the things like the gladiators and they were throwing the Christians and they were doing all that. In the midst of all of that, Christianity is taking over, is influencing the world. People are saying, no, we're going to follow God because of discipleship works. Next slide makes total difference. The 13th year, the disciple is overtaken. Doubled almost the guy who's just praying with people every day. And then the next one more, I think. Year 15. Within 15 years, the guy's praying, he's got 5,470, very good. Disciple wise, 32,000. See, discipleship is the hope. That's it. The discipleship is the hope of the church. Is that people teaching people, coming alongside them. When I looked at these figures, I thought, we start to see that the church is failing. Can no one really see that? You start to see that the church is failing. And I'm not even going to just badmouth other churches and talk about that. I'm saying that our church is not really doing that well. We, and maybe there's some of you here, I'm not going to point no fingers. I got to deal with my own heart and my own life. But maybe there's some of you here that would be honest and say, I'm not doing that well. I'm not doing what God told me to do. See, because we're all going to die and stand before God. He says, did you make disciples? Oh, I went to church every Sunday. Good. Did you make a disciple? Did you teach someone how to love me? Did you show them how to read their Bible? Did you care for them? Because just making someone pray and then sending them off, I'm not saying that God can't keep them or hold them, but that wasn't God's plan. God's plan was that they would be put into a body, meaning into a church, and people in that church would come alongside them and say, let us teach you the things of Christ. Let's fellowship with you. That they would give to that person and help that person. And that person's going to make some mistakes and slip up and fall down, but they'll come alongside them and say, look, do you still want to go forward? Yes, I want to go forward. Dust off your knee, and we keep going. That's the job of the church. That's what we're supposed to be doing. That's the church at its simplest. Discipleship is the first thing. And many people, we don't need a show of hands that will say, Pastor, this is very difficult. Can I say, this is near enough impossible. Not difficult, impossible. But the only way it will be done is through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Acts 1 verse 8, we know the scripture. They said they'll receive power. Acts 10 verse 38 speaks about Jesus. It explains it all. This is how Jesus did what he did. It says how God has anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Jesus comes to earth. He takes off all of his glory. He comes as a man. He's going to suffer as a man. He's the Son of God, full deity, but he's going to suffer. But the Bible says that even he was anointed with the Holy Spirit. That means we need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit to do this. You cannot do it without the Holy Spirit. Last scripture, Acts 19, verse 1. It says, as it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through. And so Paul is going through this place. He's preaching the gospel. There's another guy there. An island of the country, and came to Ephesus. There he found some disciples. And he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said to him, no, we have not even heard that there was a Holy Spirit. So they're not full of the Holy Spirit. And he said to them, unto what was you baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism, and Paul said John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling people to believe in the one who was to come after him. That is Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and then Paul had laid and when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. There were about 12 men in all. Why have I said this? Here are these people that were in church, but they were not filled of the Holy Spirit. That's what happened. And Paul says, this is wrong. Guys, this is wrong. Paul says, if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, this is wrong, because you won't be able to make disciples without the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit is to help you make disciples. See, because discipleship is not taught, it's caught. It's like a fire. And the reason why some people find it hard to make a disciple is because you yourself are not on fire. If you have a match that's not on fire and you haven't struck it yet and you're holding it under the paper trying to make it set on fire, nothing's going to happen. You got to strike that match first. It's got to be on fire to transfer the fire. And if God is saying to you, listen, son, daughter, you need to be making disciples. Let me say something here. I'm going to say something, and I'm going out on the limb, and it's a little bit bodacious, but let me just say it. If you don't want to make disciples, this is not the church for you. This is not that church. This is a Bible-believing, Jesus-following church. This is why we have the banners here. Reach the lost, make disciples. We've got it here every week. So you know exactly what we're about. If you start coming in, oh, I feel pressure, they're trying to make me make disciples. Yeah. That's right. That's what we do. Well, I thought I was just going to come here and sit here and just do what I wanted to do. No. There's just this. Just as there's one there. A real, genuine Christian makes disciples. What are you doing? What are you doing?